There's all kinds of behind-the-scenes work that happens to make a church run and function, and you're going to hear a little bit about how important that work is through our scripture reading this morning, which takes place in the early church when some of those behind-the-scenes kind of details were not getting taken care of, and they had to figure out what to do about that.
Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Icolus, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. The sermon that I'm about to preach this morning is partially the work of Pastor Rick and partially my own spin on some of his ideas. So I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work and that you hear something of value that you needed to hear this morning. Please join me in prayer. God, may these words that I'm about to preach be less of me and more of you. Move among us this morning that we might be drawn closer to you and that our hearts might be changed. Amen. There are certain things that you cannot do alone. A simple example is playing frisbee. You cannot both throw the frisbee and catch the frisbee and pass the frisbee back to yourself. It's just very difficult, the logistics on that. Another simple example of something that you cannot do by yourself is giving a high five, which we did this morning. That is just clapping, my friends. Another thing you can't do by yourself, move heavy objects, or at least you shouldn't move heavy objects that are larger than yourself. And we're gathered here in worship this morning because another thing that you cannot do by yourself is be the church. You need other people with you to be the church. We need the presence, we need the assistance of those around us to do the vast and the varied work that is required to be the body of Christ and to follow Jesus together. Needing one another's help is where we find ourselves in this passage from Acts 6 that was read this morning. So to set the stage, at this moment in time, the church is growing. More and more people, they're being moved by the Holy Spirit. They're feeling the presence of Christ in their lives. They're telling the story. They're bringing new people in. This is an awesome time to be part of the early church, and attendance is up. But with all of these good things come challenges, and as a result, the skills and the leadership of the church are not adequate to meet the needs of this growing community. And you hear about the Hellenists in Scripture. These are non-Jews who have come to faith. Sometimes we call them Gentiles. They're worried because their widows are not receiving food to eat. They're not receiving their daily allotment in the food distribution. It doesn't seem to be a matter of intentional neglect. Nobody's saying, let's not give food to the widows. This appears to be an organizational issue. The disciples, they're so focused on their task of preaching and baptizing and praying and doing all this kind of important spiritual work that they are not paying attention to some of the daily physical tasks that need to happen in the life of the church to meet the needs of people in their community. Realistically, also, there's a limited number of disciples. There's only so many of them, and there are more and more each day of the people in the community. And the church has expanded to the point where this small group of people can no longer meet the needs of this large congregation that they've formed. So at this point, the disciples have a choice, and they could have chosen to keep doing everything by themselves. That's a temptation many of us face when things get overwhelming and we can't quite do what needs to get done. We can keep on plugging away just like we always have, hoping that something will be different. But if the disciples had gone on that way, plugging along without asking for help, critical details like feeding the most vulnerable people in the community might have slipped through the cracks. If they had kept going without asking for help, the Christian community might not have spread like it did. There would have been a limit to what they personally were able to do. And if they hadn't called these early leaders that we've heard about in Scripture, they wouldn't have set the church free to grow and to do even more than they themselves were capable of doing. The good news is the church did continue to grow because additional leaders were selected to help meet the needs of the people. It's significant that we're given these seven names in Scripture of these leaders chosen to care for the community. It's also significant that most of us probably do not remember their names. We got Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus. Our Scripture reader probably got a bit of a shock when she saw all of these strange names that she was going to have to read before you this morning. You may remember the name of Stephen. Scripture later tells us he went on to be the first martyr of the church. He gave his life for his faith. But as for the rest of these guys, we may not always remember their names or know their stories. The rest of these guys were not flashy, preaching-type leaders who were up in front of people giving speeches that are recorded in the Bible. These were behind-the-scenes kind of people, doing what needed to be done. Now, we may not remember their names, but these were leaders who made the difference between people going hungry and people getting a meal. These were leaders that made a difference between people potentially starving and people being fed. These were the people that allowed the church to continue to meet people's needs and continue to grow. So today we pause and we remember the work of these seven leaders because we know that this was key to the growth and the development of the early Christian faith. Now, most of us probably know the name of the preacher or the folks who are up front on any given Sunday. You might even tend to think of us clergy as the people who make things happen in the church. But the real power of the church to accomplish mission and to live out the calling of Christ and to bless others is most often found in the work of the folks behind the scenes. All those folks who serve without name recognition, who aren't up front every Sunday, who don't get their names in the bulletin, those are the people who do the work of the church. And you know who I'm talking about because some of them are you. I'm beginning to learn about some of the essential ministries that happen here at Clarkston United Methodist Church. Some of them are behind the scenes, and you don't always see the people who are doing that hard work. Last month when my husband Joel and I moved into our parsonage, for example, some of the folks from Adult Righteous Mission were up on our roof giving us new shingles. That may not be the type of work that gets your name and picture in the bulletin on a Sunday morning and gets you a big round of applause, but man, is that important work when a rainstorm hits and I'm sitting inside thinking, I am nice and dry in my home right now because of the work of these folks. And by the way, you can't, or at least you should not, put a roof on a house by yourself. I said that in the first service, and afterwards a gentleman walked up to me and said, you know, I've actually put a roof on my house by myself. And then he said, it wasn't a good idea. We need help from others for projects like that to happen. Sue Deacon shared with us this morning about the backpack ministry, collecting backpacks for kids to go back to school. Well, probably in theory, one of us could go out and get 75 backpacks, but it's a lot easier when a bunch of us chip in together to make that happen. How about the food pantry? I know not all of you have had the opportunity to see what the people in the food pantry do for the community, but I got a chance last month to go check out some of what they do, and these people are literally taking on the work of Stephen and these early deacons by feeding hungry people, feeding vulnerable people who might otherwise have been overlooked and not had enough to eat. This is powerful work. This is important work. And you can't do it by yourself. That's just the beginning. I'm only beginning to discover some of what you all do here at Clarkston. Another example that comes to mind is the work of the building committee. And you might sort of say to yourself, well, buildings, that doesn't necessarily relate to needs. But I tell you what, here it does. Because we're not just renovating so that we have a nice new building to be in, although that's certainly a benefit. The renovation that this church is doing is so that we might continue to meet needs in this community. We might continue to feed hungry people, to offer a space for kids to play basketball after school, to offer resources to those who need them in this community. This is a following in these footsteps of Stephen and these early deacons. There's a lot of other things that I haven't named this morning that I could have raised up as behind-the-scenes essential ministries. You know what some of them are. You may even be thinking to yourself, oh, she forgot this one or that one. I'm naming a few to illustrate the point that the vitality of this church, the vitality of any church, is directly tied to all of those folks like Stephen and others who were filled by faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, and sent out to do mission alongside one another. We can't be the church by ourselves. John Wesley would have called what we do together a means of grace. A means of grace is something that we do to draw us closer to Christ. Now, sometimes we think of activities that will improve our relationship with God, and we think, okay, I'm going to go off into my prayer closet by myself and pray. I'm going to open up my Bible, and I'm going to read Scripture alone. I'm going to do my devotions and meditate and fast and whatever else it might be by myself. But the truth is, much of the work that we do together also draws us closer to God, improves that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And we can even help those that we're working alongside grow in relationship as well. Because when we're volunteering, whether it's through Adult Righteous Mission or the food pantry, the Pet Project, United Methodist Women, something else entirely that I'm not naming this morning, our work helps people. And as if it weren't enough to help people, when we do it as a church, we're making the love of Jesus Christ visible to those around us. And that creates a space and creates an invitation for God to draw us closer, for those that we serve to be drawn closer to God, for God to be at work in mysterious and sometimes unknown ways until later when we see the fruit of that invitation. Lives can be changed through the work that we are doing together. And sometimes, surprisingly, we think we're helping somebody else, and in fact, we find that God has changed us through the work that we are doing. Prayer also is an important piece of this equation. After the seven deacons in Scripture were equipped to go out and take care of this important work for the church, the apostles prayed over them. They sent them forth because prayer is that thing that sets the stage for mission. Prayer prepares us for what we are to do. Prayer empowers us to go out there and do it. Prayer reminds us of God's presence and really is an invitation for God to change our hearts and for God to be at work with those that we're serving. Now, at the beginning of my sermon, I talked about things that you can't do by yourself, like the high five. There's another very important thing that we cannot do by ourselves. And we're going to take part in that this morning. It's called communion. The very word communion from communal conjures up images of relationship, of unity, of coming together as the body of Christ. And that's what Jesus did too the first time that he shared in this meal. He gathered his closest friends, his disciples in an upstairs room, and he took things that don't seem too flashy on the surface. He took bread. He took wine. This morning we're going to use grape juice. And he shared these things with his friends as a reminder of his life and his ministry, as a sign of his sacrifice and as a promise of his resurrection. That today we know that this meal is more than simply grape juice and bread. This is a meal that draws us closer to Christ. This is a meal that is a means of grace by which Christ is revealed and received and shared. Something that we do together as the church. Because we want God to make us one with each other. We want God to make us one with Christ and one in ministry to all the world. We seek to be fed in part so that we can feed others in Christ's name. So as we come forward to the table later this morning, let's approach with gladness. We gather to receive God's grace so that we can serve alongside each other. May we this week approach each opportunity to give or even to receive help as a gift from God and a means of grace. Amen.